Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
But one thing that makes this environment so special is God really kissed downtown, you know, Chicago with that lake front.
Mully at Hoff, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, is Kevin Warren. We played that cut quite a bit, and it's true. You know, we are so lucky in Chicago that not only did God kiss us with the lakefront, but our city fathers, the planners of the city, they built a park system around that lakefront. So that you always will have kind of a separation of all the buildings. It's not like you ever go to Detroit. I believe the river caught fire one time because they got all these buildings that are right on the water.
Right there, yeah.
And so we've got buildings that are in a downtown area that is separate from where the water is, and that gives you this, sort of this beautiful looking city, great lakefront.
And I think they're going to take some great effort. It's going to take some great effort to preserve some of that lakefront and the open space. And that's what we'll see tomorrow when they release the renderings, unless they leak today. No, wouldn't be shocked if they do. The Friends of the Parks are going to be obviously there to inspect and scrutinize every last drawing and plan, and they should be. A couple things about the stadium itself, which is going to be enclosed. It's a dome.
Yes.
So couple things I think are worth wondering or pointing out. Number one, everyone talks about the skyline and the view, which is beautiful. You know, you've sat in a press box. We sit there, you sit at the stadium, and you marvel at, you look into the north end zone, and you see the backdrop, and it's beautiful. And it's
absolutely
iconic, and it's something that it is difficult to articulate or put into words. And that's worth preserving, but that's not going to be the case. You're going to be indoors.
Right.
You're not going to be looking out a window, right?
Look at the Minnesota building. It's all window.
It is window, but if that's going to be the case, is that to preserve the skyline? Let's wait and see. Okay. I just don't know if a skyline is going to be an issue for a stadium that's going to be indoors with a roof. So that's an odd inclusion if that's part of the conversation. The other part of the conversation is more related to the football team. Mully, I don't have a problem with the Bears in Chicago in the bitter cold of January and December playing indoors on turf. That's fast. That's modern. That is predictable in elements that are conducive to having a very efficient, offensive-minded football team. The days of Bear weather, that was a myth a long time ago. So I think people just have to get on board with that. It's the modern way of doing things, and the fact that they won't play outdoors, I don't think many people, I think the majority won't miss it.
Can I read you this text? Because it really stopped me. The guy says, why is everyone at the Score so against the Chicago Stadium? I understand the tax implications, but I feel if you wanted what was best for the city and for the Bears, you'd want this. I thought to myself, am I against this? And am I a skeptic? Well, I'm definitely a skeptic. And to answer that question, I worry about ineptitude. I worry about all the politicians that we have that are in this business, and God knows how good they are. I'm not saying they're not good. They're not, you know, top quality people working for the city. But you realize that Soldier Field that exists right now, that they're about $500 million in the hole, right? So that you still have to pay that off. You realize that, right? I'm just saying.
I think it's an unfair characterization, and I respect the question, but
yes,
from 815, I am not against the stadium idea at all. For the record, okay.
Right.
I would love the idea, and I love the thought of covering the Bears in a dome stadium on the lakefront. That's in a place that you can host a Super Bowl and Final Fours.
Yes.
I could get just as excited as the next Grabowski about this, and I definitely think I will be. But part of our role, everyone plays a role in this. Everyone plays a role. You've got to hold people accountable. You've got to understand that there's a need for answers. You've got to wonder how you're going to pay for it. There's a financial responsibility that you have to demand when you're in our seats, in our chairs, whatever the case may be. $631 million remains on the last renovation of Soldier Field.
That's exactly right.
So it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of fiscal responsibility.
Exactly.
And
right.
Once you answer those questions, you know what? We'll have a party.
Yeah,
we'll have a stadium party.
We want everyone to get what they want, and we want everyone to be happy, and we want our teams to win, and we want you to have the greatest experience you can have. But, you know, I always wanted a racehorse. I don't have a racehorse. I want a pony when I was a little kid. Why can't I have a pony? Well, we have nowhere to put a pony, and you can't have a pony. Here's a broomstick with a horse's head on the end of it. Ride that around. This is the reality of how people have to live. It's not what you want. Who doesn't want shiny new things?
Right.
But it's where does the money come from? How are you going to pay for it? How much is this going to set you back as a city? Are you looking around Chicago? We got a lot of real world, first world problems. We got a lot of things that demand a lot of attention. And you know, you want to keep people safe. You want to keep people with homes and with jobs and with all the possibilities that are out there for people. You want to educate them. These are the priorities of government. The priority isn't to help, like, let's get a nice, shiny
exactly
building
right.
That is...
If you want to be the type of world-class city that Kevin Warren describes in his lofty rhetoric,
yeah,
you've got to be true to those priorities, and you've got to be in a situation, in a position where you are prioritizing things that may be more important than paying for a football stadium.
Thank you.
And that is what is the awkward balance we're trying to strike, especially this week. That's why my reaction to this news yesterday was like, oh no, not now, not this week. What are they trying to pull? Why are they having it noon on a Wednesday? Why don't they just let us enjoy the week and savor the moment? This is as good of a moment from a football perspective as the Bears will enjoy in a very long time. And now they're distracting us from that by asking us and demanding that we ask the hard questions about how are you going to pay for this beautiful place and this beautiful home that you want to build with a roof on the lakefront.
Yeah, I'm not trying to shoot anything down. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to remind you that you know, don't get caught up in a shell game, right? Life can be wonderful, but it's not all seashells and balloons. And if someone's trying to sell you on that, then they're not taking into account all the other things that go into this.
How can you pay for that dream house?
Well, there you go.
Hey, you want to go on a cruise?
Who doesn't want to go on a cruise?
How about this luxury hotel on the beach? How about that
Who
vacation?
Who doesn't want a luxury hotel on
exactly.
the beach?
Exactly. But you have to, how are you going to pay for it? What are the implications once you're there, once you're into the middle of this project, what comes next? And I think that tomorrow, I don't think we're going to get those answers. And cynically, experience tells me we're not going to get those answers. We're going to get things that are going to titillate and excite us and make us feel like this is going to be a great thing. I've got to get behind it because, oh my gosh, did you see the way the dome glistens in the off the lake?
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's go buy a new car. Well, what about the money you owe on the old car? Oh, can we wrap all that into one big new it's just people, I mean, you've got to live within your means and you've got to be aware of what your limitations are. And I mean, hey, you want to come downtown and put $4 billion into a building and build it, go right ahead.
It also makes you wonder, Mully, because I think why we're showing a little bit of cautiousness, that I think you could call it that or you could call it responsibility here. The main people that have to sign off on this have yet to sign off on this. I mean, Governor Pritzker is a pretty important part of this entire operation, right? You would think, one would think. He so far has been sounded pretty hesitant to
he should
get behind this until there's more evidence about the personal investment on behalf of the McCaskies. Now, the Bears want to put up $2 billion. That's not insignificant.
Not at all.
And so now, if that's half of the project, the other half is going to require some creative financing, I think. And how creative? And who's going to approve the financing?
Yeah, exactly. No, it the whole thing is just a pipe dream. We'll see. We'll see what they come up with, what it looks like, and what they're expecting from everyone and all that stuff. It'll all eventually come to the forefront. But, you know, this idea of, like, let's rush this through because it will be a bright and shiny new thing. Wait a minute. But what about the old bright and shiny new thing?
It's not so bright and it's not so shiny anymore.
Yeah, and
it's still not paid for.
Level it and give more green space, and it's not paid for.
And what you talked about in terms of the open space along the lakefront and the city planners way back when had this in mind, but it's going to get more congested there, not only with the traffic and the roads and the infrastructure that we don't know how that's going to be addressed, but the renderings are said to include a hotel.
Sure.
Restaurants.
Got to have a restaurant.
A walkway to Northerly Island.
Got to get a casino in there.
There's going to be a casino somewhere.
Sure.
You know there's going to be an opportunity to bet somewhere. So these are questions that also are worth addressing from not just the financial standpoint, but aesthetically in the city, congestion. You have to answer those questions. A lot of unanswered questions that I just don't know if they're going to be adequately addressed tomorrow. Seems pretty quickly for them to be in that position to do so.
Yeah, I you know, again, if you've got the money and you can do it, then that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that everybody is a little bit short and you're going to have to chip in and, hey, what about that hotel tax? Let's just take that hotel tax. Well, I was going to use that hotel tax over here for my building.
Well, you sound like Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
Which must have been his reaction about 5 o'clock yesterday. Oh, my gosh, to see what the Bears are planning. Okay, get me somebody to fax this statement over to Cranes. Get Greg Hines on the phone.
Imagine Jerry sitting there in his nightdress, watching the news, sipping on some warm milk as he gets ready to tune it to take his nap before the game.
Someone take dictation, please. I have to issue a written statement to Cranes. I'm so mad I'm going to issue a written statement. Why not just answer questions? Why not just make yourself available?
Yeah, well, you don't want questions because you don't want to answer a lot of them. 312-644-6767. Let's try Kurt. He's in Lake Zurich. Hey, Kurt, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My point is Kevin Warren, you know, is so enamored with the lakefront. But quite frankly, if you put a dome stadium on the lakefront, you lose all the things that make the lakefront beautiful, the views from the stadium, the tailgating in the south parking lot, which will end up being the new stadium, and you'll be down in the garage probably tailgating at that point, the flyovers. It just kind of seems silly that the only thing you're going to be able to see from the beautiful lakefront is the shots of the blimp over your new shiny dome stadium. But so I think you could put a dome stadium anywhere in the Chicago or the suburbs and achieve the same effect in having a great world-class stadium. And honestly, I don't know the answer to this, but how many football teams, NFL teams, actually reside in the city that they're named for? So thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate the phone call. I don't have a problem with the dome obscuring the view of the city skyline. I think that domed football stadiums are a thing that the Bears should embrace. If they're going to pay this kind of money to build that kind of structure, it should have a roof on it.
Well, I mean, the reality is that it's a multi-use building. It's not just for the summer like a ballpark. So you want to be able to have a Final Four. You want the Super Bowl to be played there. You know, a lot of these big events that would bring in big money to the city, they are going to require
concerts.
Did
you see what they're doing at Lucas Oil Stadium?
No.
Dan Weider mentioned this on the Take the North podcast, that they are building, I believe, pools inside Lucas Oil Stadium.
Like swimming pools.
Yes, swimming pools.
For
a swimming event, an international swimming competition, which, you know, IUPUI, the natatorium there, has been a long time. I think Olympic trials were held there.
Oh.
And I think that they might be, and I have to get the details, but we talked about it yesterday. And I don't know if that's in the plans, but if you build this structure and you pay that kind of money, there would be pretty much nothing that would be off the table.
Right. Well, that's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you're talking about. Well, you want year-round access.
You're not going to – the problem with a football season is that there are how many home dates? So you've got
– You're talking 10.
17 games.
Preseason, you got 10 home dates.
10 home dates.
Right.
So think about that. That is – that building is going to be open for a lot of the year. So if you have a domed stadium, then all of a sudden you can go year-round and you can have, as you say, you can have concerts there, you can have Final Fours, you can have, again, a Super Bowl brings a massive influx to the local economy. The thing is, there's a couple things. Like, how much is it going to cost, and are you really worried about cost?
In other words,
are you going on cheap?
You better not be.
No.
You better not be. And
no.
Molly, just to follow up on that, yes, the Indiana Sports Corporation is behind this. And in 2 months, Indianapolis will be the center of the swimming world for the U.S. Olympic swim trials. And they're building 2.5 Olympic pools inside Lucas Oil Stadium in just 3 weeks.
Like where? Like
inside.
No, I'm saying like on the field?
I think so.
Holy mother of God.
Talk about taking a dive.
it's a wonderful life waiting to happen. Someone hits the button, the pool opens up, and you dance into it.
But that's getting the most use out of that
right.
facility.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing they could have tractor pools at the new lakefront stadium. Who knows what else they could have there?
312-644-6767. We've got Joe on the road. Hey, Joe.
Hey. Thanks for taking a call, fellas.
Sure.
I sure hope – I would prefer Arlington Heights, but I got to say I'm a lifelong Bear fan. So if they build the right stadium, I don't really care where they build it. I think from the Bear standpoint – I think it would be smarter for them to have a wholly owned stadium that's all their own.
Yeah.
One thing I would love the Bears organization to understand is it just drives me mad that the Packers have a museum in Green Bay at Lambeau Field for one of their for their team. We have the founding team of the NFL. We have no museum. It's ridiculous.
Oh, you haven't been to Hallis Hall.
You should go to Hallis Hall. But Molly,
thanks, Joe.
A museum is actually part of the plans.
Sure. There'd be a museum.
On the lakefront.
Right.
So people can go after they have dinner or wherever and go to the casino and take a couple laps in the pool.
Holy guacamole. We're going to bring in Lance Brozkowski next. We're going to talk about the Cubs and where they're at. And then we've got Coach Wanstead set to join us. And we'll talk about the draft and the Bears. We'll get back into some stadium talk. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, we need Adbert to get out. Regardless of where it is, we need Adbert to be an effective member of the bullpen, and I strongly believe that he will be. We need outs. Where they come in the game. It obviously stings when it comes at the end of the game there. But we need outs, and Adbert's going to get us big outs this year.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Craig Counsell, and he's talking about the closer. Is he the closer? Do the Cubs have a closing problem? We're delighted to welcome in Lance Brozkowski from Marquee Sports. You see him on the road to Wrigley. Lance, good morning. How you holding up?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Well, we can't decide if the Cubs have a closer on the roster. If it's Elzeli after what has gone on to start the season. The blown saves, the penchant to give up a home run, each of the four blown saves, and he had three all of last year. They all are connected to him giving up a home run. So it's a tough one because they're doing well. They're having a fun year. They're really kind of doing better maybe with guys down than you thought they would, but they've blown these saves, and it's hard not to look at that as a major issue.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it's a curious case too because the slider's always been the pretty dominant pitch for Elzeli. And this year, it's not working. If you look at where the damage is being given up, it's all bottom third of the zone. And that's generally where the pitch worked well last year. So I don't have – it's not one of those things that I look at from, like, the data perspective and go, oh, okay, yeah, like, you just got to change the location here, or, like, the shapes of the pitch is different, or it's not as hard, or the velo's down, which you often see in back-end guys. And I think oftentimes you can ascribe a lot of issues to that. So I'm not entirely sure what the fix is. I think that's maybe something internally that they're trying to figure out right now is what's going on, whether he needs another pitch to supplant the slider and keep hitters off it. Does the usage of the slider need to come down, which I don't necessarily think is the case because that pitch is the best pitch he has. So right now, I mean, like, yeah, this is one of those situations where you just got to get him right, and you probably have to take him out of the role. As to who supplants him is probably more of an interesting question. I mean, Mark Leiter Jr. has been the best reliever in the bullpen right now, but when I think of closer, I unfortunately don't really think of Mark Leiter Jr. just because the fastball's not that great. The splitter is amazing, though. So I almost think it's maybe more of a matchup thing where you kind of peek at who's coming up. Maybe use Yancey, who's been really good versus righties, or use MLJ, who's been good versus lefties, and kind of go from there and see if in the meantime you can get Adbert right. But that's kind of the angle I have right now. So I'm curious on your guys' thoughts.
Ben Brown has the stuff that every closer wants in terms of velocity, and he has the imposing kind of intimidating presence on the mound that every closer seeks. But I don't know if it's a good idea to try to ask a rookie to convert into that role, even though he might have the stuff. What do you see as his most ideal role and fit on this pitching staff?
Well, long term, I've been championing that he's a starter. Like, I just think there's enough there. We saw that in San Diego. Like, he's a good enough pitcher from a depth standpoint of his repertoire and what he can do, even if it's only two pitches. Like, it works because of how, what you say, platoon neutral that curveball is, which means it works versus right-handed hitters and left-handed hitters. So I like him as a starter long term. I think that we've seen a lot of pitchers who have been in starting roles or have been in relieving roles move to starting roles and be successful of late. I'm thinking of like a Jordan Hicks, even Reynaldo Lopez on the south side. Like, there's been some other guys too where it's like the value of having a guy, even if he's not dominating as a starter, be a starter, is just better from a value perspective, I think, personally. So in that case, like, I want Ben Brown as a starter, but you also have to look at the context and circumstances of the team at present and realize that maybe the best option for him is to be a reliever. I don't mind the concept. Like, I'd be curious to see if his velo ticks up at all in that role where you kind of shorten him up and go with one inning bursts. I agree that he has the presence and he kind of has the moxie. He's a sharp dude. I really enjoy talking to him. And I think that would make sense. It's just a matter of like how quickly they want to thrust him into it. You know, like I don't know if the balance is like go with MLJ and Yancey in matchups and then in the meantime, see if you get Adbert right. And if you can't get Adbert right, then you give it to Ben Brown. You know, I'm curious on that. I just want him as a starter. I just think the circumstances of the team, given the depth, maybe will push him into relief. Because if you get Steele back and Tylan's back, you start like squeezing out some of the back-end starters. And it's like, I think he's probably the first on the chopping block there. And he's already in kind of more of a multi-inning role. The other option is to keep him in more of a multi-inning role where he's stretched to 2 to 3 innings. You know, you saw that a little bit with Keegan Thompson, too, where you have these multi-inning relievers. I could see that being the case where you use him in multi-inning to try to maximize his value. Then you keep MLG and Yancey in the back half of the leverage innings. I don't necessarily know. Like, that'd be a little bit non-traditional, you know. Like, there's not a lot of teams that have, like, a couple multi-inning options and then go to a pure reliever in the back end. And oftentimes, like, you could argue in this case that the multi-inning guys might be better than the back half guys. Like, Keegan's been great since he's come back, and right, so has Ben Brown. So maybe you go with some two-inning saves. Like, I'm a little lost, I think, on how that will fall together. But, Ben Brown's good enough to stay up and contribute on the major league team, so it's a matter of finding fit. And I agree. I think the fit is probably in the bullpen right now. It's just a matter of whether you want to keep him on 2 to 3 inning spurts or go with one.
It was funny because we were sitting here, I think it was like a Friday, and David said, hey, whatever happened to Keegan Thompson? And literally he was brought up, and next thing you know, he's doing great. Do they got a lot of guys like that? Do they have a closer that they're hiding down in the minor leagues that's ready to come up? I know Cade Horton is ready to be a starter, but what about the bullpen? Is there anyone kind of lingering that could help?
Yeah, there's a guy named Cam Sanders who's kind of found some command this year, which has been a part of a revelation for him, I would say. He's pitched a bit better. He's hard thrower. He's got really, really good stuff. He's got a nasty changeup, good slider. Daniel Palencia is a name that I always thought would slot into that closer role, but he hasn't really shown that. I mean, I liked how he looked in spring a lot. He was kind of throwing the splitter a bit more, which is like it's a really hard splitter too, which I thought would work. It's kind of similar to what like Juan Duran throws in Minnesota. And I was really intrigued by that. I remember seeing that and going, almost making some hot takes in the studio at Marquee going like, I think he might actually end up being the closer. He'll end up with the most saves. And then we just kind of haven't seen that manifest at the major league level. He's been rocky when he's come up. I that's another tough one for me to peg in terms of like how to get him into more of a leverage spot. Because if you're looking at like closer stuff, I do feel like Valencia probably has it. Apart from those two, like there aren't a ton of guys, I think, at AAA that really, really jump out to me as being like immediate helps, which is why I think you've leaned towards the situation of going with a guy like Ben Brown in that role. Cade's another example. Like, I think he'll be up this season. I would peg him for like, let's say 50 to 60 major league innings. If this team gets in the playoffs, I think he's there with the team because you run in the situation of like, what is your best roster? And I think in a couple months, it'll be very obvious that Cade has to be a part of that best roster. But again, like the depth of the rotation now is really strong. And, you know, I'm curious to see what their innings cap for him is this year. So if they throw him, say, 100 or so innings in the majors, like you might get to a point where he even becomes more of a reliever. You know, he already throws 695, 96. You put him in a one-inning role and maybe for 2 months to finish out the year, if this team makes a postseason run, he becomes more of a leverage option. So we'll see. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm happy to some extent that we're not worried about, like, who the fourth starter is or the fifth starter. Like, we're having some – I mean, Ty Hendricks has had some problems. And, like, I thought he righted the ship slightly against the Marlins, but I wasn't blown away. You know, like, he's had some – I think he's primarily had command issues. And he's running into when the command isn't super sharp. If you don't have velocity, you're just going to get pounded in the zone. So I don't really know how you fix that. Like, he's not going to add velocity at this point. So I don't mind that, like, the problem is in the back end. Like, good teams, I think, to some extent, have problems in the back end occasionally. You know, like, there's some good teams right now in baseball that are having those issues, especially guys who've lost closers.
But what
and
do you
they've
do
been
with,
able to manage, so.
But what do you do with Kyle Hendricks? Because if you do have the depth that you describe, right, you can't really afford to put him out there. And even though you may have seen progress, I think you're probably using a microscope to find it. There was four runs in four innings is still four runs in four innings. How long do you think they're patient with him?
I think whenever Steele's ready to come back is kind of when you make that decision. And to me, I thought that Miami start was pretty big. And I honestly thought the Miami start made it a little bit harder because if he got pounded in that outing, I mean, he gave up runs, like, but I wouldn't say it was how he'd given up runs in the prior couple starts. If he got pounded in that outing, then you run into a situation where I almost think he forces your decision where it's like, okay, you got to come out of the rotation. We got to figure out what's going on. You move him in like a bullpen role, which is very uncomfortable for a guy who throws like 88, but it just kind of is what it is. And then you bring Steele back, and like Assad Wicks has just been better, I think, from the rotation. So you just can't throw high Hendricks in that situation, in my opinion. But he almost made it harder by pitching like kind of okay, and you could argue he kind of got BABIPed a little bit. So it's like, to me, the next start is huge for him. Because Steele, you know, is going to Arizona. We'll see if he makes a rehab start and how quickly that goes. So he's like almost back. If he comes back, again, like right now, I think that a guy like Assad Wicks is probably who I'd prefer to have in a rotation. It's just, If Hendricks could get right in this next outing, he makes that decision even harder. So I want to defer to the next start. Like I don't have to make that decision right now, right? Like that's you can wait. Like there's timelines for a reason. I know Jed said that in terms of signings and stuff like that, but the timeline ends when Steele is ready to come back, and that's when you have to make that decision. So I just don't think you need to like jump the decision right now.
Great stuff, Lance. Thank you, buddy. Always a joy to catch up. Appreciate
Thanks, Lance.
Your time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the NFL draft.
Oh, man, you're not kidding. That's Lance Brozdowski with Marquee Sports. Check him out on the road to Wrigley.
Good stuff. And tonight, the Cubs begin their series against the Astros. 7-16, the Astros are at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins 6:05. First pitch, 6:40. Jordan Wicks, JP France. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app.
All right, we've got Coach Wonstedt. He's in the building. We're going to talk to him next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Dave Wonstedt, Bears head coach for six seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Why don't you hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score?
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question. Thank you. Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wonstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are inching ever closer to the NFL draft. And what a delight, what a joy to have Coach Wonstead here in studio. You look like a million, Dave, and it's going to be a really good weekend for the Bears. I predict it right now. What do you think?
Morning,
yeah.
Dave.
What's up, David? Yeah, I agree. No, it's exciting. I said the other night we were on a show, and I said, you know, the Bears take this kid. All of a sudden, they're going to be in the we're a relevant team again conversation because of the supporting cast and Caleb. And, you know, I like that he's warming up to Chicago. You know, I wasn't sure early. I had a good conversation with Matt Leinart a couple of days ago, you know, USC legend.
Sure.
Who does all the stuff out there in L.A. And, you know, I love that he's warming up to the fact that he's going to be in Chicago. You know, I think he does need to slow down a little bit with breaking Tom Brady's records and 8 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I
mean, 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love his enthusiasm, but I really do. But he's kind of growing on me a little bit because this guy now, the more I hear him talk and the more people I talk, this guy has been trained, this guy has been exposed
to. He's a professional athlete, Dave.
This guy has been in this environment for a long time.
So if you are Caleb Williams' advisor, you have been in Chicago, you've been through and lived in the fishbowl as the coach of the Bears. If you were to get, if you had 15 minutes alone with him Thursday night or Friday when he comes to town and meets the Bears media, what advice would you give a young man who's clearly polished, has a lot of savvy, but what would you tell him? What doesn't he know about Chicago, about Bears fans and the fan base that he needs to?
I would tell him, first off, you know, that less is more. Less is more in this city. You know what I mean? There, you're going to be welcomed with open arms, and rightfully so. The excitement level is going to be off the chart. But hey, you know, one day at a time. And just less is more when you're in front of the media. Don't give him anything to make a story about. That would be the biggest thing. You know, I think that just get in there and do your job. There's a process to what we're going to do here. And the process, the first thing is obviously with your teammates. You got to win your teammates over just by being a good teammate. You don't have to do anything special. And then the city will love you. You know, once we get to December and it's snowing and it's minus 15, that, in my mind, is what the people that really turned the corner on Justin Fields is when he was hurt and it was cold and he proved that, hey, I'm a tough guy and I can be a Bear, you know. So I think that he's got to go through that. You know, the old expression, and I've said this before, you know, the talent sets the floor. We know this kid's got the talent. There's no question about that, okay? No one's disputing that. And character sets a ceiling. Now, when I say character, it's the things I'm talking about. How are you with your teammates? How are you with the media? What, you know what I mean? I mean, all those, you in early, is football your primary thing?
Right.
You know, not getting a TV show or not getting, you know what I mean? Take one step at a time. I think that's the most important thing that Caleb needs to really pull back a little bit, because he's probably doing a hell of a lot more at USC than any kid in the country. And when he comes here, he'll have those same opportunities. You don't need to take all those, you know? I mean, they're going to come to you. Just slow down. Football's got to keep the main thing the main thing.
That's great advice.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
I think that is exactly what we're going to learn about this guy. If he comes in here, and Dave, the guy's got $10 million in the bank. He comes here with a lot of coin already. He doesn't need all these, the stuff that you're talking about. What he needs to do is to wrap himself into that playbook. He needs to develop a relationship with Shane Waldron to the point where they're thinking exactly in the same way, where he understands everything that's unfolding in front of him. And if he has that kind of commitment and he has his head down and he's working as hard as he can, then the success will come faster and then everybody is going to be happy about whatever it is he does. But what we don't know and what you find out about these guys is what is the level of commitment that you have to be great? It's the easiest thing in the world to say that I want to be great and I want to be the best and all that stuff. But without putting in all that time without working as hard as humanly possible, then you're never going to get there. And some of these people, especially in the NFL, there is, as you once were, there's a complete obsession where you are morning, noon, night, you are spending all your time dealing with it. That's what he needs to do. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think back when you just listen to the words both you guys are using here to my nephew, who's the head trainer at Bobby. Sure. He used to be at the Bobby Bears, Slater. Bobby Slater. You know, he's the head guy at Tampa Bay. And I was so curious. Tell me about when they got Tom Brady.
Right.
And he says, when Tom walks into this locker room, everybody is on eggshells. He says, I start taping ankles faster. The weight coach starts. He says he'll walk by an assistant coach and say, David, you know, the third game against, did you see that weak side blitz that the Vikings brought 3 weeks ago? You know, are we going to be okay picking that up as an example?
Mm-hmm.
And as assistant coach, you better have watched that tape. I mean, that's how on point and obsessive he was with being prepared to go out and win. And, you know, you said you want to break Tom Brady's records. Well, you know, that's what's involved with Tom Brady. I mean, the stories are just remarkable. Tom Brady telling a rookie, come here. Let me tell you something. I'll never throw you the ball again. You run the wrong route. If you're not where you're supposed to be, you will never get the ball from me.
That's leadership, Dave, and I think that you want to see that from your quarterback naturally, and Caleb Williams certainly is capable of being that guy. I think it's going to be a difficult line to walk and balance to strike because he's a rookie, and he's got these veterans who now are waiting to see how he's going to adapt because he is a professional athlete. He does have $10 million in the bank.
Yep.
And I think he's got to be careful to not show some sort of meekness that he's, you know, hey, you're going to have to trust the guy, but also not come on too strong because, like, who are you, rookie?
Right. I agree. And, you know, the good thing with Caleb is the Bears are one that we all know, one of the youngest teams in football. And we got so many new players, so many young players that, yeah, the DJ Moore, and I don't know. You know, where Keenan Allen is on this thing and maybe Sweat, you know, but we don't have a lot of veteran guys. I mean, that's going to be good for Caleb. I mean, if he was coming to the Bears, you know, when I was here, for example, and you had, God bless him, Steve McMichael and Van Horn and Bortsy and all those guys, Richard Dent. I mean, those guys, they can make you want to go back home in a hurry. You know what I mean? Because they've all been there and done it. They're Hall of Famers. And that's the atmosphere. So I think the atmosphere that he's coming into, being a young, talented football team, I think that's going to be really good for him.
All right, we've got to talk about the number 9 pick. We know who the number 1 pick is, but what do you do at 9? Is there a danger that you're going to tell us they should trade down? We'll ask Coach Wansett.
We've already got that solved, didn't we? David solved that the other night on a show.
He's moving up.
Yeah. I don't know where he's going to get
it. I thought you were speechless, Dave.
Yeah.
No, you know what? You know, I'm going to tell you what I was thinking here when we come back.
All right. There you go. That's the tease. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.